Thank you, Mr. Woodhouse. Good morning. And it really is a good morning, isn't it? Isn't it lovely to see that beautiful sunset? I'm so glad Mr. Woodhouse gave us this forecast and revised the forecast. I don't always believe in revised versions, but that was a good revised version. We had a good day yesterday, and it looks to be a good day today as well. Well, we're going to continue with our study on the subject of worship. And this morning, we're going to continue with the law of first mention. Well, you see, we did the first mention yesterday in Genesis chapter 18. But this morning, we're going to do the first mention in our English Bible. The word worship is the same as the word that we looked at yesterday in Genesis 18, where it was translated, bow down. But here, in most of our Bibles, and especially in our good King James Version, it's translated worship. And so we're going to come to Genesis 22 today. I think I may have disappointed one or two of you yesterday by suggesting that the first mention of worship was not in Genesis 22. Well, we'll try to make up for that disappointment this morning. Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And sure the Lord will bless to us this familiar and precious portion of his holy word. Let's bow in a moment. O God our Father, we thank Thee for this passage from Thy Word. How often we have looked at it, how often we have considered it, and how many rich and precious treasures we have found in it. Grant that today may be no exception. Lead us and guide us, we pray Thee. Direct us by Thy Spirit, and grant that all of us may hear Thy voice. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask. Amen. I'm sure you'll agree with me that Genesis 22 is one of Scripture's rarest gems. A gem of dazzling beauty. A gem of priceless worth. How it sparkles from the pages of the Word of God. And the more we contemplate it, the more brightly does it shine before us. This gem is like a many-sided diamond. And we can look at it from different aspects, different facets. And we can see different precious treasures from each facet. For example, in this gem, we find that we can see a rich prophetic significance. The closing verses of this passage give to us a real prophecy. It's almost a summary of all the prophecies that were given to Abraham about him and his seed. Previously, in Genesis 13, the Lord had spoken to Abraham about his seed being as numerous as the dust of the earth. And in Genesis 15, he directed his gaze to the stars and the canopy of heaven. And here in this passage he combines both. Thy seed shall be as the sand of the seashore, as the stars of the heaven. In this prophecy too there is a very distinct prophecy of the Lord Jesus. For the prophet, thy seed, a plural, but singular, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And we know that that was practically fulfilled in the Lord. So you see very clearly in this passage there is prophetic prediction of that important. But also looking at it from another side, we can see that this passage is rich in typical significance. What a beautiful picture there is. In that father and that son, Abraham and Isaac, going together to the place of sacrifice of another father. And another son, who too went together to the place of sacrifice. Isaac in the New Testament is called his only begotten son. A word that's used several times, as we know, about the Lord Jesus. For here is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe we have New Testament authority for taking this as a picture of the Lord Jesus. You remember the writer to the Hebrews speaks about this very incident as he presents Abraham's faith. And he said that Abraham believed that God was able to raise him again from the dead, from whence also he received it in a figure. That word figure is the word parabole. We could translate it parable. It's also used in the epistle to the Hebrews about the tabernacle, which was a type. And so the New Testament gives us authorization for using this passage as a type of the Lord Jesus in his death and his resurrection. And we look at it from another angle, or a whole series of passages, and we can see that this passage is very full of practical instruction, not only prophetical prediction, and not only typical significance, but practical instruction. Why, the very opening phrase, God did test Abraham, gives us some very practical teaching about the subject of testing in the Christian life. Every one of us, in the school of the Christian, in the Christian college, in the school of the Spirit, has had examination, test. And the higher we get in that school, the more difficult the test. Because Abraham was one of the very best scholars God ever had in his school. And he got the very hardest test that any of the scholars have ever had. He was asked to get his test. This was a test. But not only is there instruction on testing in this passage, of course there is instruction on faith in this passage. The New Testament, on more than one occasion, refers to this particular passage as an example of faith. The faith that not only believed God, but trusted God, and obeyed God implicitly. And that's seen very clearly in this passage. In this passage too, there is a lesson on obedience. We could call it the obedience of faith. And we can learn some important lessons from this passage if we have time to consider it on the subject of obedience. And there's a lesson on the subject of consecration. We may have time to consider that in a little detail later on, this morning, consecration. But this morning, we're going to look at this passage from the facet of worship. I've already indicated that in our English Bible, the first occurrence of worship is in this passage. Let's read it again together in verse 5. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again. This story, I think, is one of the most favorite stories of our early childhood. I don't know how often I listened to this story in London. I remember in Scotland, at a children's meeting, this story was presented. And the speaker who presented the story described it by means of object lessons, and I can never forget what he said. This is a story that we learn from our childhood. I must make a couple of confessions to you. Maybe you should make them to me too, I don't know. When I was a child, I had two misunderstandings about this story. The first misunderstanding that I had was that Isaac was just a little boy when it happened. Did you ever think that? That Isaac was just a little fellow and that Abraham was offering maybe a little 3 or 4 year old. Well, I don't think Isaac was that when this story happened. I think Isaac was a young man when this happened. I think there is evidence to suppose that Isaac was a young man. That he might even have had strength to overcome his aging father. The second misunderstanding I had of this story came from that side itself. Abraham said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. Well, in my childish ignorance and maybe innocence, I felt that Abraham was just trying to pull the wool over the eyes of Isaac and his servant. He knew he was going to offer Isaac up on that mountain top, but he didn't want to tell his servant that's what he was going to do. And he didn't want to tell Isaac that's what he was going to do. And so he covered it up. He said, I am going to worship. And he was covering it up. The more I think of it, the more I believe that Abraham was expressing exactly what he was going to do. Not covering it up, but telling the exact truth. This wasn't a euphemism. This was the truth. Abraham was going to worship with Isaac on Mount Moriah. And I believe in this story we have one of the greatest illustrations of worship in the whole of the Bible. You remember we noted that the law of first mention indicates that the first occurrence of any subject or word or theme in the Bible is an important guide to the meaning of that subject throughout the Bible. And I believe that in this passage, we have an indication of what worship is. Well, in that light, let's study worship. For what Abraham did that day was an act of worship. What do we learn then about worship from this passage? Well, the very first thing we learn is that worship is giving to the Lord. That's exactly what Abraham was doing. He was giving to the Lord Isaac.
And that will worship him.
You remember on Sunday morning we looked at that great Psalm, Psalm 90. And we noted that it read something like this. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the beauty of hope. And we concluded that worship is giving to the Lord in acknowledgement of his work and his work. And that's exactly what Abraham was doing. He was giving to the Lord in acknowledgement of what the Lord had given to him and what the Lord was to him. And worship is giving to the Lord. So this begins on the right key, doesn't it? But I think there are many more lessons to be learned on worship than that. I think we can analyze it a little more deeply. Secondly, we learn from this story that worship is giving to the Lord what is most precious to us. What do you think was Abraham's most precious earthly possession? Sarah? Well, Sarah was very precious to Abraham. But it seems to me that the most precious earthly possession that Abraham had was Isaac. After all Abraham's hopes were based in Isaac. All God's promises to Abraham were based through Isaac. Abraham's richest and precious blessing was Isaac. And this is the one that God had asked Abraham to give. You'll notice the pathos of the words of the Lord as he spoke to Abraham. He said, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, thine only. And three times in this chapter, these words are used, thine only one. Three times over, thine only one. This is the same word, you may be interested to hear, that we read in Psalm 22, where we read that God says, deliver my darling from the power of the dog. That word, darling, is the word that's translated only here. The Latin translation of this word is the Latin word unique, from which we get the word unique. You see, Isaac wasn't really the only son of Abraham, physical, literal. He was the unique son. Abraham had Ishmael, but Isaac was the unique, the darling, the one and only son of Abraham. And in the New Testament, as I've already indicated, in Hebrews chapter 11, he is called the only begotten. And these words, thine only son, whom thou lovest, think of the pathos of them, indicate the preciousness of Isaac to Abraham. Now let's apply that to our worship. What or whom is your most valuable possession? I would suggest to you that every one of us who loves and knows the Lord Jesus must acknowledge that the most precious possession we have is Christ. And to you who believe he is precious or is the preciousness, the most precious possession we have is Christ. And I would suggest to you therefore that that is our most valuable possession, our most precious treasure, then our worship will reach its very highest peak when we present Christ to God in all his beauty and in all his glory. And our worship can only reach that peak when we've been contemplating him, considering day by day. And only then, as we consider him, will we be able to worship as we are. So first of all, worship is giving to the Lord. And secondly, worship is giving to the Lord what is most precious to us. But thirdly, we learn from this story that worship is giving to the Lord what is most precious to the Lord. You see, Isaac wasn't only precious to Abraham. Isaac was very precious to God and God. As God looked upon Isaac, the son of Abraham, he looked down through the centuries, for he knew that in Isaac, Abraham's seed was going to be called. And ultimately in that seed there was one seed, which is Christ. And God saw his only begotten son, his well-beloved son. In Isaac, God saw Christ, the one of whom Isaac was a faint and feeble type, a representation from the past. And yet the Lord saw the Lord, his only son, that which was most precious to God, the Son of God, the one over whose head he could open the heavens on more than one occasion and say, this is my beloved son, my only son whom I love, in whom I am well. You see, Abraham was offering what was precious to God. And is that not true of our worship? When we worship and we offer the Lord Jesus in all the beauty of his life, in all the glory of his work, we are not only offering to God what is precious to us, we are offering to God an offering that is precious to him. You'll notice that this offering is called a burnt offering. The characteristic, or perhaps one of the supreme characteristics of the burnt offering, was that it was all offered on the altar for God. It was an offering that was a sweet savor to God. It brought pleasure and delight to the heart of God. And here is the burnt offering par excellence, the offering of the Lord Jesus, who offered himself without spot to God, a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. And when we come and present it, we are offering what pleases the heart of God. When we come to worship at the Lord's Supper on Winter, let's remember that the highest worship is not thanking the Lord for the gifts that he has given to us, that we should do. Not even thanking the Lord for the great gift of salvation and eternal life, that we should do. But worship reaches its highest peak and pinnacle when we offer to God the Lord Jesus in all his beauty and all his glory. And the highest form of worship activity in which we can engage is when we present him to the Father in all his glory. There's a fourth lesson we learn from this story. Not only is worship giving to God, not only is worship giving to God what is precious to us, not only giving to God what is very precious to him, but worship is giving to God what God has already given to us. You see, Isaac was God's gift to Abraham. God had presented Abraham with his gift. He couldn't have had it by human means. It was beyond human understanding. It was beyond human ability. Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when Isaac was born. They were past the years of having children. And yet God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, gave Isaac. And Abraham was offering back to the Lord what the Lord had already given to him. All our worship is offering back to God what he has already given. Is that not what David said at the time when the materials were brought for the building of the temple? Here is what David said. David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given. In other words, when we offer to God in worship, we are offering to God what really belongs to him. His all, of his all, we give. And then, fifthly, worship is offering to God in accordance with God's instruction. you'll notice that God gave specific instructions to Abraham. He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Abraham was told exactly where to go, and exactly what to do, and his worship was in accordance with God's instruction. Now we text him this just yesterday morning. Do you remember we noticed that when we should worship in spirit, guided by the Spirit, and in truth, in accordance with the truth of God's Word. Worship is offering a gift to God in accordance with the instructions contained in the Word of God. And that's what worship is. But there's something else in this passage, and I think this is very important for us to consider. I want to point out to you that on Mount Moriah that day, there were two worshippers. Did you notice that? Two worshippers. We think of Abraham as the one who offered in worship. But Abraham wasn't the only worshipper. You'll notice what verse 5 says, abide ye here with the ark, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. That's why I indicated at the very beginning of this message that Isaac wasn't just a little fellow at the time, 2 or 3 years old. Isaac was a young man. The word lad, I understand in the Hebrew, is a word that can comprehend any age from childhood to a young man. And it seems that Isaac was a young man at that particular time. He had the ability to resist Abraham. He could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. When Abraham tied him up with that rope, and when he put him on the altar, Isaac could have said no, could have refused. But you see, Isaac was worshipping as well as Abraham. Abraham, as we have seen, was giving Isaac. What was Isaac giving? Isaac was giving himself. And our sixth point is that worship is giving ourselves to the Lord. Giving ourselves to the Lord. In the Epistle to the Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we have a great verse. I think we all know it by heart. It goes something like this, that's what I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word service at the end of Romans 12 and 1 is not the usual word that's translated service. It's a word that means religious service, priestly service. And if you look at most of the new translations, including the NIV and the NESV, you'll discover that most of these translations translate it worship. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. This is your spiritual worship. You see, worship isn't only the expression of our lips, or even the expression of our heart. Worship is the expression of our life. And we can really only worship God when we not only speak to Him, but when we live for Him. When we give our lives to Him, and lay all on the altar before him, just as Isaac did. Well, maybe a little different from what Isaac did. What did Isaac do? Isaac there was presenting his body a dying sacrifice. He was giving himself to that knife that was raised high before the message from heaven arrested the falling knife. Isaac was giving a dying sacrifice. You and I may be called to give a dying sacrifice to the Lord. Many of the Lord's people in days gone by have had to do that. They died as martyrs. But whether or not we give our lives a dying sacrifice, we have the responsibility of presenting our lives a living sacrifice. And in accordance with God's great mercy to us, because of all that he has done for us, it is our obligation to present our bodies on the altar of sacrifice. And that is a necessary issue. You see, worship isn't confined to what we say with our lips. Worship includes what we do and give with our lives. And if the Lord means all that we say he means to us, then we'll wish to give our lives in devoted, consecrated service for him, our lips in witness for him, our feet in walking for him, our hands in working for him. And if we present our bodies, we are giving our lives in devoted worship. Is giving ourselves to the Lord as an offering for him and for his glory. Let's revise what we've seen already this morning. Worship is giving to God. Worship is giving to God what is most precious to us. Worship is giving to God what is most precious to him. Worship is giving to God what he has already given to us. Worship is giving to God in accordance with his instruction in truth. Worship is giving ourselves to God. One more thing about worship. Worship leads to the blessing of God on our lives. Those who are prepared to come to God and give up the Lord Jesus in worship, and give up themselves in worship and devoted consecration, will find that the Lord will bless their life. That's what happens here. At the end of the story, you see the story doesn't end here at verse 40. The story ends in verse 18 or verse 19. After God has spoken to Abraham in response to what Abraham did, God says, I myself I have sworn, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy that in blessing, I will bless you. And if we are worshippers in deed and in truth, in spirit and in truth, if we are offering to God what he has given to us and ourselves to him, we will discover that he will bless us with his richest blessing. So what a privilege and what a blessing and what an honor it is for us to worship. Let us then worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us. O God our Father, we thank thee for the familiar story that we have read from thy book. We thank thee for the priceless lessons that you teach. Help us, we pray thee, not only to learn the lesson in our minds, but to practice them in our lives. Grant that we may be true worshippers, offering not only our gifts, but ourselves to thee. We pray thy blessing upon us today. We thank thee for the lovely day granted to us. Help us to use it for thy glory. For we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus.